The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I think mom guilt is this, you feel like you should do one thing and you're doing another. Yeah. And, you know, we just talked about kind of getting to know yourself and understanding yourself, the relationship with Amy G and Franny, but also who you are and what you actually want. I think the mom guilt comes in pretty strongly when there is an imbalance in that relationship, when you either don't really know who you are, or it's conflicting a lot with what you think you're supposed to be doing.
You're listening to the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast, where you'll gain the knowledge and confidence you need to erase the unknowns of pregnancy and birth and rock the newborn days like a boss. My name is Liesl Teen. I'm a fellow mom, labor and delivery nurse, and your host. Each week on this podcast, you'll hear a mix of birth stories, expert interviews, and other fun pregnancy and birth-related content. As a reminder, anything you hear on this podcast is not medical advice. Please see mommylabornurse.com/disclaimer for more details. And now let's get into this week's episode. This week on the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast, I had a chance to chat with my friend, Dr. Sarah Allen, all about working mom guilt. This is such a good episode, you guys. I like just resonated with what we were talking about so much. It's really a topic that is just so near and dear to my heart, and I knew it would really resonate with many of you as well. That's why I wanted to put it out. So you see, Dr. Sarah Allen is a pediatric neuropsychologist who helps parents with the tools and support that they need to mindfully raise successful, happy, and connected kids. For today's episode, we spoke specifically about flipping the narrative on working mom guilt, and Sarah weighed in with her brain expertise to share why being a working mom benefits children and their development. You'll hear as we discuss what working mom guilt typically looks like, research-backed reasons why being a working mom can benefit your children, discuss the pros and cons of daycare versus nanny care in the first year from a neurodevelopment perspective, and maternity, parental, or parental leave in general here in the U.S. So yeah, this episode is info-packed, and it's so, so interesting. So let's dive right in. I'm so excited to tell you about a pregnancy app that you must download to help you ease your journey to motherhood. If you're pregnant, postpartum, or trying to conceive, you might have discovered that this period in time can create a bit of stress and anxiety, even for the most prepared parents. That's why I'm delighted to tell you about Expectful. Expectful is the mental health app for before, during, and after pregnancy. Seriously, this app has so much for your mental health, and it was designed by a team of perinatal experts, holistic wellness practitioners, and moms who have experienced it all. You simply enter your due date or your baby's birthday and receive weekly custom content throughout your pregnancy and postpartum journey. Expectful has a broad selection of over 3,000 meditations with unique collections for cycle tracking, IVF, birth and labor prep, nursing and pumping, postpartum depression, and more. And they also have daily live events and Q&As with lactation consultants, nutritionists, pediatric sleep specialists, pelvic floor therapists, and maternal mental health experts. They even include a hypnobirthing course that has received 5-star reviews from thousands of moms. With Expectful's free 7-day trial, it's a no-brainer to give it a try. You can find Expectful in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. And if you use the code MLN25OFF, that's MLN25OFF, either on the app or at expectful.com, you'll get 25% off your annual membership. Go to the App Store or expectful.com today to start your free trial. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the Mommy Labor Nurse Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, we've got a cool episode today. So can you start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself, what you do, a little bit about, you know, your platform, what you eat for breakfast, you know, what your pets' names are, anything you want to share?
Sure, of course. So I'm Dr. Sarah. People call me the brain gal, mostly because I think they can't say the word neuropsychologist, which is what I am. So I'm a pediatric neuropsychologist, and I really focus on growth of the brain and development, and not just of our kids, who I'm hoping through my Raising Brains movement, people will start to see their kids like little brains and not like little kids, but also about mom brains too. You know, we all have, I've got two kids myself, and I'm in a relationship with a partner who also has two kids. And so we have four kids between the two of us. And we really focus on not just raising our four little brains, but also what our brains need and how those develop too. And so I'm really focused on that. And, you know, I think in life, they throw you curveballs sometimes. And so things aren't always by the book. So my big focus is on translating the neuroscience to actual tangible practice. So what can you do in your everyday life that really is science-based, but also has a practicality to it?
I love that, because that's kind of what we do here at Mommy Labor Nurse. We try to break down medical information that's can kind of be overwhelming or boring, and I try to make it tangible and like in a fun way so people not only understand it, but like get excited about it. So I love that, you know, you kind of have that same thought process behind.
And you know, things don't always go as planned. I mean, half of your content is about what happens when things don't go as planned. And we get things so set in our head that we need it to be this certain way. And then you realize that life doesn't always follow that path. And so we often need ways to pivot and just to know the different options available and to know what to do when. And so I that's one of the things I love so much about what you do, is that it is so practically oriented. And that's definitely me. I'm big on efficiency and effectiveness. You know, we don't really have time as, you know, I'm a working mom, even a stay-at-home mom. I was just talking to a good friend of mine who doesn't have time to do anything either. And so, you know, we want to make sure that we can make it as useful for people as possible. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Well, we're going to talk about some mom guilt. But before we jump into that subject, you said the word mom brain. And I wanted to see if you could elaborate a little bit more on what that mom brain is. And I mean, really, it starts in pregnancy. You have that pregnancy brain. And I feel like it just kind of stays with you forever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So can you just tell us your opinions on mom brain? And like, first of all, like, what even is it?
Well, I think you mentioned pregnancy, and you know, there's so much hormones involved in pregnancy. And interestingly, you know, our brains communicate through chemical and electrical impulses. So not to get too geeky here, but in terms of the science of the brain, what's happening is our hormones are the way that our brains communicate. Those are the chemical messengers in our brains. So I wouldn't discount the impact of hormones during pregnancy. And then also after, you're really connected to your little ones too. So you get big rushes of oxytocin, hopefully, when you're giving them big hugs and they're giving you big hugs. And so there is a huge chemical component to the way that our brain communicates. And so I think that's a good portion of it. But also when you become a mom, you automatically become a juggler. And when you become a juggler, you have big parts of your brain that just really need to know everything about everyone's schedule, including your own. And so it just gets overwhelmed and overworked sometimes. And you couple that with not sleeping as much and maybe not eating as well and not getting a chance to exercise, which are all healthy brain habits that really promote your functioning. And you're going to have some mom brain definitely happen in there too. You know, I like to talk about two parts of the brain primarily, because I think they're the ones that are most involved in mommying in general. And those are your amygdala, which is your emotion center of your brain. And I call her Amy G because she's just so emotional. And I picture her like, like pufferfish, you know, that just like, she's fine for a minute, but anytime you step on that wrong eggshell, she puffs up. And then you have the frontal lobe of the brain. I like to call her Franny. I picture her kind of like an octopus with tons of tentacles everywhere, doing everything. Thing and juggling everything. So you have this relationship between your Amy G and your Franny. So as a mom, those hormones and also just the connectedness with this other little being is going to make Amy G puff a lot. And Franny's role consistently is to chill out Amy G and help calm her down and help figure it out and send the good stuff down so she can kind of regulate or control her. But Franny's also responsible for thinking logically and problem solving and, you know, responding kindly instead of snapping. And those are the things that Franny will have trouble with as you have these extra Amy G moments. And so that's really, when it comes down to this mom brain, it's that combo of that Franny Amy G relationship, along with just the acknowledgement that especially during pregnancy and right after, you're going to have your actual messengers of your brain be a little bit different in general.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I love that analogy. I'm just saying that. When my amygdala is going wild, I'm going to be like, hey, Amy G, chill out.
Exactly. And you know, it's so funny you say that, because I think it is that understanding of what's happening as a mom that really helps. And you mentioned mom guilt. I think it helps to reduce some of that mom guilt, is just to have an understanding that this is normal, natural processes. What's happening for you is, you know, that Franny Amy G relationship. It'll also happen for your kids as they get older. And so by learning to accept that and understand that relationship and really get to know yourself better, you're going to be able to help your kid better.
Yeah, I love it. Well, let's dive into mom guilt a little bit more. So you mentioned that you're a working mom. I'm also a working mom. And not to say that stay-at-home moms don't have mom guilt, because there's plenty of stuff that you can feel guilty about as a mom, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. But us working moms, we definitely feel it a lot. So let's just like define, you know, what would you say mom guilt is, especially in, you know, considering working moms?
I think mom guilt is this, you feel like you should do one thing and you're doing another. Yeah. And, you know, we just talked about kind of getting to know yourself and understanding yourself, the relationship with Amy G and Franny, but also who you are and what you actually want. I think the mom guilt comes in pretty strongly when there is an imbalance in that relationship, when you either don't really know who you are, or it's conflicting a lot with what you think you're supposed to be doing. And, you know, that's really this relationship that creates enormous mom guilt. And over the course of many years, being a mom has shifted. You used to be more stay at home. Now we have more working. Now there's some balance, and some working moms feel like they need to do everything and have, you know, everything managed. Some feel like they can get some support with that, but then they may feel guilty about that or feel guilty about doing it all. And so it's always this relationship between what you actually want as a mom with what you think you're supposed to want that creates that mom guilt and really heightens that feeling.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, let's try and flip that narrative and try and think about it a little bit more positively. I know as a working mom, I'll start you off, and I know you're going to elaborate on this, but I know as a working mom, I feel like it shows my kids that, I mean, I have two boys, I don't have any girls, but it shows my two boys that like, hey, mom also works. Like, dad's not just the one that goes to work. Mom works. Like, mom's job is really, really important. And it also allows them to go to school and, you know, interact with other kids and other, you know, their teachers. And they go over to my parents' house one day. They go over to my in-laws' house one day. They're just like, get all of these different, you know, different care providers and different experiences. So that's why I like it. And obviously for me, it also, I love what I do. So my job gives me a lot of, you know, satisfaction. But for those out there that maybe are really, really feeling that mom guilt as full-time working moms, what kind of benefits would you say that like being a working mom shows your kids or like allows your kids to have?
So I'm going to say something, and I want every mom to listen to me. Being ambitious is good for your kids' brains. Sending them to daycare is good for your kids' brains. Having another caretaker is good for your kids' brains. And doing things that make you happy and fulfill you and show your kids how to do that for themselves so that you are actually in charge of making yourself happy is good for your kids' brains. Because like you said, it provides a model.
Yeah, it does.
And it provides this way of teaching their brains how to do it themselves. You know, I often say to moms, what would you tell your kid when they had kids about? Would you tell them to stop their lives and to not do the things that fulfill them? You know, if being home, a working mom at home or being a caretaker fulfills you, that's what you should do. You know, if working fulfills you, that's what you should do. If you have to work in order to provide for your family, then that's what you should do. And you should show your kids all of the different emotions about that, because, you know, I mentioned Amy G a lot, but, you know, Amy G, in order for her to feel stable and happy and comfortable, we have to feel stable and happy and comfortable. We have to do things that really lean into us. And that goes back to mom guilt, right? It goes back to the idea of when you're leaning into yourself and figuring out who you are, what you like, as opposed to what you think you should like,
then you're going to start to find that happier place when you get comfortable and confident, when you figure out what type of mom am I? And, you know, and we have a quiz about this, which type of mom you are, because it's so fun to be able to figure out, okay, I'm this kind of mom. Therefore, maybe you're an analytical mom and you like the science to things. And so lean into that and appreciate that for who you are. Maybe you are more laid back and you really kind of like the energy of things, or you're really interested in all organic and, you know, and into going hiking in the outdoors. All of those different kinds of moms are okay. It's just a matter of understanding what's important to you and what you appreciate so that you can then parent in the way that you want to. And I think that's important, especially when you're pregnant, right? Especially when you're thinking about becoming a new mom, you really want to start to think about what kind of childhood you had, what mom you had, how that influenced how you feel about being a mom and whether you want to be like that or not like that. And then what you want to do with your child and kind of really thinking about what that might look like so that you can give your kid the best shot and the best chance and feel comfortable and confident doing it.
Yeah, no, I love that. Going back to the mom guilt too, mm-hmm. I feel like a big fueler of mom guilt is unfortunately social media, because sometimes I'll see pictures of somebody doing something really cool with their kid. And I'm like, why am I not doing, you know, you'll have those thoughts kind of flood your brain of like, why I should be out doing this with my kid. Oh, they were going strawberry picking. Oh, they went to the, But it's like, you don't recognize that. I was just at the kids museum all weekend with my kid and they were having such a great time. And it like this negative thinking like outweighs that so much of the time. And it's sad.
Yeah. Maybe we need to start a movement for people posting the messy, you know, I think we post the perfect. And actually that perfection is not good for your kid's brain. So having things always be okay. And if you're a mom listening or a soon to be mom listening, and this will click for you right away, if you grew up in a household like this, where everything was fine, everything was swept under the rug and all was good. Yeah. That doesn't teach you how to understand how you think and feel. So if that's how you grew up, you probably don't really know all the time how you're thinking or feeling, or you might find yourself getting grumpy or moody without really having a good understanding of your thoughts and feelings. And when that environment happens, you don't learn a lot about how to identify what an emotion is, the complexity of emotions that, you know, even I'm sure there's women in here who had struggled to get pregnant and really struggled through that phase, that you can be happy for somebody else and really sad for yourself, that you can have layers of those emotions, angry at another woman, but at the same time, realize that that has to do with you sometimes. And so it's not happy, sad. There's all of these different things. And so when you start to dig into that more, I think you really start to get at the root of mom guilt, because you start to realize what is creating that issue of, you know, either I think I should be this way, but I don't like this and I'm not this way, or, you know, just that relationship there. And when you start to dig into all of those pieces about what you really want and like, and you start to, again, I know I say it, but I mean it, lean into it. And, you know, that is what kind of starts to free you of that mom guilt. But that being said, there will be mom guilt. There will always be mom guilt. Being a mom equals being guilty, feeling guilty. That's just the way that it is. And, you know, we have to kind of work through that and just have some acceptance and understanding of that emotion, because we love our children and we really like to do other things, you know, whether that be, again, whether you're staying at home and like to do other things, or whether you're going to work and that's the thing you like to do, you're going to want to do things for yourself, and you're going to have what I like to call a perfect imbalance, because it's not balanced, it's imbalanced all the time, of who's needs will be met above other people's. And that comes to creating a team with your family of saying, hey, I know you really want to go to the Children's Museum today. I need to record a podcast. So why don't I record the podcast and then we'll go to the Children's Museum together. So if you can give mommy some time here, then I'll give you some attention over here and let's do that balance together, right?
Yes. No, love it. And I can do that with my 5-year-old. I can't do that with my 1.5-year-old.
Not yet.
You have little kids, know that that advice will come and it will work at one point.
Absolutely. And so if you have little kids, then it's about creating the time and space that you need to do that. So allowing those other caregivers, right? Or allowing the daycare, the nanny, right? Because you are allowed to take that time. You shouldn't apologize for that time. And as your kids get older, they will start to follow that model and recognize that even your 1.5-year-old, when you can say, okay, Grammy's going to take you for an hour so I can record this podcast and then we'll do it, as they start to get to be 5,
then that creates a learned experience of that too, right? Just like you were saying, with this exposure to different kinds of people will give them a different perspective as well.
Yeah, no, I love that. Well, that brings up the conversation of like daycare versus nannies and, you know, the pros and cons. Let's weigh both of them and maybe like other options for childcare, because here in the U.S., you know, pretty much the standard maternity leave is 12 weeks, which is unfortunately not a long time. You know, I wish it were longer, but that's what the standard is right now. So can you talk a little bit more about like the pros and cons of daycare versus nannying from your perspective, like from the neurodevelopmental perspective?
Absolutely. And then I would love to talk a little bit more about a maternity leave too, because that's an interesting one. And I have some personal experience with that too. But this goes back to knowing who you are and what you value. And I know you've heard me say this over and over again on this podcast, but it's really true, because there isn't a right and wrong answer here. This isn't about, yes, this one way, you must go to daycare, or you must have a nanny, or you must raise the child purely on your own. That doesn't exist. When it comes to translating the science on this, it's really about what you value your kids to learn at that particular moment. So with daycare, there's lots of exposure to other kids, which is great for socializations. But if you have a nanny, that nanny can also take them to the playground and, you know, have other play dates and engage them socially in other ways too. So I think it's more about what the skills we want to build in our kids, which is a lot of experience and exposure. So that 0 to 5 age range is the most learning your brain will ever do in its whole life. And it goes through this process of what we like to call pruning. So if we picture like branches on a tree, the cells in your brain are called neurons, and they're going to connect with as many other neurons as you can. But it's not, more is not better here. So your kids are born with more than twice the amount of brain cells they're ever going to have in their life. And they want to have some of those, most of those actually die off. The ones that they keep are the ones that are based on the experience and the exposure that they have during that 0 to 5 time. So this is why if you have a neurodiverse kid, that early intervention services work really well, because we're shaping the brain at 0 to 5. So during that time, it's about building skills and exposure. That's why we have those toys with little tags that kids can touch and get that tactile sensation. That's why we want them to visually see things. That's why I took my kids to the mall all the time, not just to be out and about, I swear, but it was also to be able to get them to see lots of different kinds of things and hear lots of different noises.
Different kinds of people.
Of course. I swear it wasn't just me, but maybe a little bit just me. But either way, those are all good things. And so focus instead on what you want, the skills you want to build for your children. That would be socializing. We want them to be around other kids because they learn more from other kids than they do from adult to kid kinds of relationship. They scaffold off each other. So you want a kid that's just a little more advanced that they can then start to build up off of. So meet them where they are, but then bring them up a little bit. So daycares are easy, great ways of doing that. But you have to have a daycare also that has a loving, warm safety component, because we need to have that nurtured aspect too. If you have a nanny, you're going to probably have that nurtured, safe aspect and get a lot of great social or great emotional development there too. But then you'll want to work a little bit harder to get them out in front of other kids to have some of that socialization, to make sure that we're consistently talking to them, building language skills. Again, you can do that in a daycare, you can do that with a nanny, you can do that on your own. So you just want to really focus, I think, more on the development of the brain, which includes experience to sounds, touches, to language, to shaping that language. So I mentioned Franny. This is huge Franny development, because Franny's all about control and regulation, not just of emotions. But if you think about the milestones for kids, you know, it's about like a pinch or grasp, so they can grab food. And then once they can kind of grab the food with their thumb and finger, they can then maybe learn to swallow that food. That's control over the motor movements of the throat and the mouth. Then we want to look for rolling over, for walking, control over gross motor skills, bigger motor skills. Then they'll start to control the language. So it's, you know, usually dada, unfortunately, but da, right? Yeah. Then it's a full sentence or full word, then full sentence. It's all motor control, then language control. And then, you know, you have a 1.5-year-old, you probably know this, just staying in one spot. Right? Just behavioral control. Just literally stay there for a few minutes, please.
We're not good at that.
No.
My 1.5-year-old, he goes to gymnastics with my older one. They both go to gymnastics on Mondays. We just went last night and it's hard to control him. He loves it, but he just like wants to move constantly. Uh-huh. And you're right. It's that behavioral control that we struggle with a little bit.
Right. I mean, we've done things where putting circles on the floor and just saying, stay in a circle, right? And with gymnastics is great too. And so is things like karate and things because they're having feedback from the mirror. They can kind of see that too. But over the course of time, they'll start to learn that. That's all Franny development. So all the work we're doing on ourselves to regulate our emotions with our Franny, our kids are doing with not just our Amy G, but their motor and their behavior and all these other skills too. So we're talking about that kind of natural development. So you really want to focus more on control and regulating, because actually the more Franny development that you have and the more control you have, that's usually when you're performing better. So when I say I have a good day, or when you might say, oh, I have a good day or a bad day, you're really talking about how well Franny did that day, you know, how much she regulated her emotions, how well she was able to pull all your learning and memory and thoughts and feelings out and get them out in a good, clear, concise way. So that's what we're looking for in our kids. So really when it comes to nanny better, daycare better, home better, it is about focusing on the skills that they need to develop and what is important to you and what works well in your family structure. Because if a nanny works best, you're going to have reduced stress in the household. Your Amy G is going to be better and thrive more. You're going to be able to be more attentive to your kids when they're home, and you're going to enjoy being with them a little bit more instead of what sometimes happens, which especially if your mom guilt is high, which is that you go to work and you want to be home. You're home and you want to be at work. And there's this constant like push-pull.
All right, everyone. I want to take a moment and talk a little more about our sponsor on today's episode. They are called Expectful. Expectful is the mental health app for motherhood. Whether you are trying to conceive, currently pregnant, you're preparing for labor, already have an infant, or even older kids. Expectful also has content just for birthing people who have experienced a miscarriage or child loss. They really do offer something for everyone. Here at MLN, we know that pregnancy and birth come with a lot of what ifs. And when mamas aren't sure what to expect, they often enter labor and delivery feeling anxious and unsure. But that doesn't have to be your story. From videos to live event classes to wellness services like sleep coaches, nutritionists, fertility coaches, and more, you can use Expectful to find support for wherever you are in your journey to motherhood. And I don't just mean something you get on once or twice and don't use. No, I mean truly anxiety-reducing, stress-lowering support. Expectful is actually scientifically backed and has been studied in the Journal of Midwifery and Journal of Perinatology. I actually personally used the Expectful app during my last pregnancy with Ryland. I had some really, really, really horrible pregnancy insomnia, and honestly, listening to a guided meditation on their app was one of the only things that helped me get back to sleep in the middle of the night. And we all know how critical sleep is for pregnancy. But the one thing I really love about this app is that it provides a non-pharmacological, low-cost solution for reducing prenatal and postpartum stress. Their regular subscription is $69.99 for an entire year, and their HSA and FSA covered if you have it. But we do have a special code for you today that I'm going to give you in just a second. So keep listening. All right. So one last thing, Expectful was actually awarded Best Pregnancy Meditation App by The Bump. And you all know that I love The Bump. And there is a reason why. Expectful has a 4.8 star rating with over 3,000 reviews on the App Store. It's because this app is simply invaluable during pregnancy. With Expectful's free 7-day trial, it's a no-brainer to give it a try. You can find Expectful in the Apple App Store or on Google Play. And if you use the code MLN25OFF, either on the app or at Expectful.com, you'll get 25% off your annual membership. That takes the price down to just $4.37 a month. Go to the App Store or Expectful.com today to start your free trial.
So, you know, really focus on those skills and less about which one is right, but instead which one's right for you and your family while you're building these skills for the brain.
All right. The sound of that baby crying means it's time for this week's segment of Birth It Up Babies. All right. This one says, I am an L&D nurse too. Woohoo. Cool. And I just delivered our second baby. I was hoping to go into labor on my own, like with my daughter, but at 38 weeks and 6 days, my pressures were mildly elevated and my OB insisted on IOL, which is induction of labor. And she sent a little eye roll emoji. She said, felt he jumped the gun perhaps, but maybe because I was hoping to try and go natural and truly didn't believe I'd be capable if I was induced. Started PIT at 2 p.m. and baby boy arrived at 8.05 p.m. with zero pain meds. I did it and used lots of your tricks. Oh, I love that. I love connecting with other L&D nurses too. So if you're an L&D nurse, send me a DM. I just love connecting with you guys. All right. If you want to check out the course that this mom took, she took Birth It Up, the Natural Series, and you can head over to mommylabornurse.com and click on the Natural Series. All right. Let's get right back into this week's episode. I love that. And I will say too, that know that it's okay to change over time. Like I know when I was a first time mom with my little one, I just wanted to stay at home all the time. You know, I'm like, I just love being with him. And then eventually he went to, you know, daycare, or he went to like a half day kind of preschool. He got older. But now with both of my kids, it's really important to me. And I mean, I love my job now, what I do for Mommy Labor Nurse. And that's like so fulfilling for me. So I realized that like, oh my gosh, yeah, I actually really want my kids to be in full-time care so yeah. I can be happy and healthy in my job. And then on our time off, we have such a great time because like I'm fulfilled during the day and I, you know, have my kids when I'm done with work. And we actually do just side note, like this is our personal week. They go to half day preschool and then a couple days a week, they go to my mom's and then my in-laws and then my sister picks them up one day and then they're home with my husband. So it's like, they're not like that 9 to 5 all day gone every single day, but sometimes my sister here, sometimes my niece is here taking care of them, but I can like hear them too. So it's just, it's about what works for you. And I can tell you too, we've changed it about a billion times and that's just going to happen. Childcare is stressful in and of itself and it's going to change.
You know, I think for me too, so I struggled to have kids. So I lost my first three kids within an hour of their birth each time. So I had my first son, Jake. And during that time I was working and I did a bunch of ADHD groups for kids. And there was just a little boy that like put his hand on my belly and asked about the baby. And then that weekend I was in the hospital, you know, in labor and lost my first son, Jake. And I was back to work 2 weeks later. And then when I got pregnant the second time, it was with twins, randomly actually. And then I lost one. And then the other few days later, same thing. They both lived about an hour. So then when I had my daughter, she was born a little bit early at about 35 weeks, but great weight, you know, 6 pounds, she was doing fine, but she came early. And so I was working a little bit. So what I basically ended up doing was taking some time off, but then starting a new job. And when I started that new job, they swore to me, of course, we'll start in September. She was born in May. And it ended up being that I basically had to carry her around in a little romper on my front while working through the summer, because they just decided that no, actually, they were going to need to come in. And so instead of respecting the family values and understanding that leave time that was necessary, especially for a new mom of a baby born a little early, but also, you know, who had struggled to have kids in the first place, needing that bonding time, she just came with me. You know, you talk to the women and they all laugh and remember her just being on the front of me. And by the way, she's now 11, almost 12 now, and they'll still remember this. And so, you know, I think that it speaks to the lack of understanding sometimes and support. You know, I even remember I worked with some challenging kids and we had another school that was for kids with severe behavior issues that often had physical, you know, the aggression. And I was asked to just go and be the supervisor over there. And I said, you know, please, I've had so much trouble having children. This is my, you know, I am in the same time that I lost. Please don't. And they gave me such a hard time. So I think it's a matter of learning to stand up for your rights and what you need and not feeling guilty, because I felt so guilty for that. And I look back now and I think that was them, not me.
That was crap. Yeah, totally. Oh, that's awful.
And my daughter ended up in daycare very soon after that. So both of my kids, probably within 6 to 8 weeks, were back, were in a daycare full time. And for me, I didn't have the same level of family support in terms of watching the kids that you were just talking about, but they became my family, you know? And actually when the director of that daycare left, it had a very different feel. Luckily, my kids were out of the daycare at that point, but you find the thing that works for you, I think is the point in what we're saying, and and own that and be with that and really just focus. I mean, they must have hated me. I would walk in and say, so we're working on language development. They totally... They were great. They completely they're just like, okay, they humored me and everything I said. I would write on the sheet, you know, so coo, we're cooing today. And then we're responsively coo. I mean, this is a neuropsychologist going in and we'd like to work on motor development. So hold her, support her as she wants. They were probably just like, we do this with every single kid.
It's wacky.
You're a crazy lady, but you know, it's what worked for me. And then once I calmed down and realized that, you know, they kind of knew what they were doing and I settled into myself, you know, it became an extended family. And some of those women eventually worked for me doing kind of a nannying after school. And like you said, it just shifted and grew as they got. And so it can shift and grow. And it's okay to be overwhelmed and stressed and be the mom that is pushing on skill development because maybe you're a little stressed and then shifting and realizing that they have it and it's okay, or vice versa. It's a strange thing to have kids and it's a strange thing to start to become a mom and need to advocate for these, for yourself and for these other little things that are suddenly placed in your care.
It teaches you a lot about yourself.
That's yes, right. It does.
That's right. Well, let's talk about maternity leave because I know we were touching on that a little bit and you talked about your personal experience and how it was very short. And like I said, unfortunately, here in the United States, it's about that 12-week mark. It sounds like you're very pro long maternity leave. It sounds like that you're probably going to say, you know, it's very good for their brains to have mom at home or, you know, do that, the bonding and have baby. So I want to hear from you what your thoughts are on maternity leave and like any thoughts on like policy changes maybe that can happen here, if you have any thoughts on that, like how it's related to their neurological development.
Yeah. You know, I think of course we always want moms and babies to stay together as long as possible. I think that, again, I mentioned oxytocin, that connectedness, that forming a bond is really important. But I actually think that the policy changes need to be in general about women with kids and men with kids, by the way, just about understanding family structures in general and supporting people in that way. So we do have programs starting to shift to support new moms, but I can tell you that moms need support all along the way. Early on, you know, they hand you this child and they just say, here, take it home, right? Or even when you're pregnant, there's a lot of information about diapers and, you know, peeing and pooping and eating and sleeping. But then what about what kind of kid you want to raise or what kind of mom you want to be or how to manage a lot of those thoughts and feelings and emotions? We don't have as much on that. So I think first helping women, providing some support for women while they're pregnant to say, hey, here's kind of like you do pre-marriage counseling. Let's do pre-baby counseling and talk about what that looks like. And then also along the way, providing supports like parent coaching and parent education classes and just Q&A times where you can go in and just say, what do I do? Or even as your kids get into school, there's some questions about, do I need special education? Do I not? Whatever that looks like. And that's, you know, a bit down the road, but providing more consistent education and supports and understanding of working families is really, really important. And I think that's where I think we're lacking is it's not just 12 weeks and then, okay, they're back to work and everything's fine. Yeah. It doesn't solve the problem. Being flexible work schedules, work from home. This is a benefit of the pandemic that we've had is that we know that a lot of people can work from home. So instead of going back to what we used to have, which so many companies are starting to do, and it's extremely frustrating, and there's no reason to go back into an office when you can work fully from home. And we've done it remotely at the same productivity level, right? Yeah, just to be in an office, to be seen.
If not more. In some ways, I feel like people are more productive at home.
Yeah. And, you know, within my area, for example, we have a walking school district. And so school is going to end at 3 o'clock or 2:40 and clubs don't start till 4 o'clock. Kids are not allowed to stay on the premises. So what are you supposed to do as a working family there? And so I think it's really about being supportive as an employer. It's about being supportive of your employees and providing consistent support for being a mom, not just in the beginning, but in the beginning and all the way to the end. So that by the time those 12 weeks come around, it's not about being back to work or home. It's about finding that great blend of being able to be a mom or a dad and also being able to be an employee and feeling like you can do both things and getting that support. You know, we get exercise. You can get support to join a gym. You get support for mental health right now for yourself. You know, we get support even for executive coaching for leadership, but we need to also provide some of this parent coaching or strategy support because we don't really get that education anywhere else.
I love that. No, you're right. And I know there's companies around me too that are starting to offer the, and they've been doing this for a while, but they have the daycare. Sometimes they have daycare like on the premise or like, you know, very close around, or they're like, I know I was just talking to one of my friends at the hospital. I had a hospital shift yesterday and she sends her kid to a daycare that caters to like shift workers. So they're open on holidays and like early in the morning so you can drop kids off or like for, you know, so it's that and thinking, you know, just, I mean, there's so many working parts to it. I can think of like, it's not only the daycare, but it's like, okay, knowing that if I'm breastfeeding, I need to have some place where I can pump and providing, you know, where can I put my milk? Can I put it in this fridge? Can I put it, you know, and it's a lot, but you're right. It's not just, you can't think of it like, okay, your 12 weeks are over, now you're back to work and everything is the same. It needs to be kind of this like gray area.
And it should be about supporting your employees, a person also, you know, and a person and a mom. And so when it comes to milk, where do I put that milk? That should be something you figure out together. That shouldn't be, well, we don't have a policy for that. And just the same thing with 12 weeks. If it 8 weeks works okay with some slowly coming back, but that feels good to everybody, great. If it needs to be 12 weeks, but I, you know, no matter when your maternity leave ends, it is going to be a stark difference unless we start to see it as this kind of spectrum and
where it's just,
it's just the idea should be to help support your employee in becoming a parent overall, because you're also training that next generation. If I'm an employer and I'm an employer who's been around for a while and wants to continue to be around, you know, we need to invest in that next generation also. And so you're providing the support to invest in that next generation. You're creating, I mean, even the research will show a more productive employee, reduced sick time, you know, leave time.
Yeah.
We see increased loyalty to companies, happiness, sustainability in employees. Because otherwise, what we've seen is a good portion of moms leaving the workforce. And we don't want that either. You know, we need women in the workforce. We need that perspective and opinion. Many companies cater to women, so they need those moms. And so it's important to start seeing it, like you said, as a transition, as just part of the supports you provide your employees. And those are the loyal ones. Those are the ones that are going to stick around, that, you know, statistically reduces your need to train new employees because you don't have high rates of turnover and you're going to be able to keep your employees too. And that's what you want, those dedicated people who feel invested in and who will invest back in your company.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, geez, like if you're working for someone and they say, oh no, you only have this many sick days a year and there's no leeway, and then something happens and there's like, you know, no sort of gray area there. Yeah, you're going to have such a negative feeling towards that versus like if you had an employer who is like, okay, you know, we're going to, if for some reason you need to, you know, your kid's sick or something, like call me, we'll figure it out. Is there any way you can work at this time of the day or blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. You want happy Amy G's, right? Like Amy G will make everybody feel better. When Amy G's happy, everybody's happy. And that's when you're more productive. If somebody's uncomfortable or unhappy in your company, it doesn't matter whether you lock them in there from 9 to 5 or not, they're not going to be productive. And so that's the way to get the most out of your people and for people to get the most out of your company. And it's a mutual relationship. It should be a win-win. We want people to want to be places because that's when you're going to get these creative, unique ideas or more support or people coming in when something happens and something you need some backup, just like you're going to have their back when they have a sick kid.
That's very true. Yeah. A lot of people, a lot of employers or a lot of companies don't see the benefit of like, hey, okay, maybe even though it's like expensive to support mothers on their leave and expensive to put policies in place where like, okay, we have this sort of healthcare that covers, you know, like birth classes, for example, because we've shown that birth classes are so much more beneficial. You know, I could go on and on about this, but it's like all these little things. It's like, yes, it's expensive, but like if you realize that if you put everything back into your employees, like it's over time, well, not even over time, but like it's gonna benefit your company in the long run, you know? And a lot of people just, they don't put that together.
Well, and for those who aren't putting it together, look at the statistics on my website, because I put a bunch of them together for this particular reason, because the number one expense is turnover rate, right? That's such a huge expense. And, you know, sick time. The stress levels, when you have increased stress levels in your employees, you're going to see increased sick time and then insurance rates and different things. And we know there's a mind-body connection, you know, as a nurse, you know, and me as a neuropsychologist, that there's a huge mind-body connection. So as stress levels increase, then you're going to see increased illness and even chronic illness and things like that too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it is short-sighted to just think about tomorrow and not think about investing in your staff the way you want them to invest in you.
I love it. Well, we're going to put that link that you just said in the show notes page for people to check out. But can you just remind people where they can find you if they want to follow you? I'm sure everybody listening now is like, I'm going to go follow this Dr. Sarah lady. She told me about this Amy G thing. And, you know, Franny?
Franny, that's right. Franny.
Maybe we'll name the episode Amy G versus Franny.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff on my Instagram page. And of course, if anyone has questions, you can too. And we just launched our new mom box too, for people who are interested in learning more about actually some mom guilt, some parenting things and raising brains in general. So we'd be happy to have you. So you can find all that stuff either on my Instagram, which is dr.sarahllallen, SarahLallen, or of course our webpage, which is brainbehaviorbridge.com. So we're always bridging that gap between brain sciences and behavior. So that's the way to get to know us best. And then if you're an older mom who's, you know, got some older kids with your younger kids too, we also have a podcast called What's Happening Here. And we talk a lot about Franny and Amy G and all of that and how you translate that science to practice. And that's something I run with my partner. So it's a lot about someone who's in a relationship with a pediatric neuropsychologist trying to raise kids. So good luck to him.
I love it. I love it. Awesome. We'll put all that stuff in the show notes page for people to check out. Thank you so much, Sarah, for joining me. This was awesome.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
All right, guys, that wraps up this week's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in and letting me be a part of your motherhood journey. It is truly an honor. If you like what you heard, don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. And I love hearing what you guys think of the podcast. So if you're liking what you hear or you have a suggestion, I'd be so grateful if you'd go ahead and leave me a review wherever you're listening to help more mamas just like you find the show. What do you think? Are you starting to feel a little more confident about your pregnancy and birth? Well, if you want more, be sure to head on over to mommylabornurse.com/podcast for today's show notes and a library of episodes so you can keep getting educated before your upcoming birth. And while you're over there, be sure to check out the blog and learn about our online birth classes. Find it all and more over at mommylabornurse.com/podcast. See you next week, same time, same place.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.